This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Greetings, PTB Wrestling Network loyalists. Welcome to this week's episode of your home for everything modern day wrestling, the throne smashing Place to Be Nation's main event. I'm your tri-host, Scott Criscolo. Smashing thrones, breaking bones, neck tattoos. That's all we're talking about tonight here on the main event. Let me bring a guy who would rock a sweet neck tattoo. But it would be a neck tattoo of a tiger because his NXT name is Gunther Gable. The Conscience, a guy who would give lots of conscience to the country that the pay-per-view is at Saturday. Mr. Steve Willey.
Do you think my type would be accepted in that country? I don't think so.
What? Lush blonde hair and love of work rate? Yes, I agree. Steve, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure indeed.
And, of course, joining us as well, of course, the purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon. And since I believe this is episode, let me just confirm the number here so I don't blow it. I believe, before he goes into his exceptional monologue, I believe that it is episode 190. That's what I'm gonna go with. I think I'm right. But I should probably confirm that, which means I should have had this window open before, but I was too busy prepping my Steve Willey blonde hair jokes. Here we go. So I believe it is – no, it is episode 189. Yes, 189 is our episode tonight. So that means good tight ends, good wide receivers, maybe the occasional defensive end. But – we, of course, have to find out who played on his high school team at number 89. Ladies and gentlemen, the Godfather, Nate Milton.
What's going on, Scotty? I can't think of who played with that number on our Minstrel Monarchs. It might have been a case where that number was used the year ahead of me and the year after me. But okay. My 2 years, we didn't have an 89. But I do have bad news, and I hate to drop this on you, Steve Willey, but you know, I've had to do a lot of soul searching, and you know, I'm sorry to bring this up on air, Scotty, but much like Michelle Tafoya, I'm going to have to leave this show because I have an objection to CRT. Yes, I have an objection to Cody Rhodes talk, so I can no longer be a part of the main event because of my political beliefs. I'm sorry, Steve. I had to smash the throne tonight.
It's understandable. Hopefully, you're not injured by any sledgehammers. Yeah.
I guess we finally have news. Like, I want to say 2 weeks ago, guys, when we last signed off, we didn't know. Had we known then what we know now? Like, I think I was thinking maybe Keith Lee would be our big talking point, maybe previewing the show in Saudi Arabia. But no, Cody Rhodes finds a way. Cody Devontae Rhodes, Scotty, finds a way to make himself the main event always.
Yep. He did, even if his former boss didn't want him to. So, number 89, let's see, probably some decent ex-athletes, most of them, of course, NFLers. Mike Ditka, Steve.
Coach.
Coach DUI. Coach DUI. Dave Robinson, former Hall of Fame Green Bay Packers linebacker, played in the first two Super Bowls. Gino Marchetti, who was a former... or is that Leo Nomalini? Which one of them was a former NWA champion? That was Leo Nomalini. Gino Marchetti also played for the 49ers. John Mackey, Hall of Fame tight end.
It was Musheen Muhammad, 89. That sounds like a very Musheen Muhammad number.
That is a very Musheen Muhammad number, yes. That's all I can think of. I can't think of any other 89s. I'm sure. Hit us up on the Twitter, at PTBN Wrestling, and tell us if there's any other 89s we missed. I don't know.
We're clearly out of the range of NBA numbers. I think until we get to 91 with
I got two.
Really?
You do? One of which you would never guess. Well, neither of them you'll guess. One was from the 50s, of all things. But 2000.
Is it Mike Ditka?
I don't think he played that long. Well, I guess he
did. This guy played from 2006 to 2016.
Oh, wow.
Basically averaged three teams a year, four teams 1 year. He went to UNLV, power forward. A total.
Moses Scurry?
No, Lou Amundsen.
Yes, I remember
3.7 points a game.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, he played for two to three teams, played with the Bulls on two different occasions.
Jesus.
Yeah, played on, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Even on 2K, like I remember during those years, even when I wasn't controlling the team, like the other team would cut Lou. Like they just knew that's what Lou's career is. Like we can hold him for about 10, 15 days and then we cut him and somebody picks him up on a 10 day.
Yeah, he played for 10 different teams over 10 different seasons.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Imagine the per diem though. He must have saved up, Scotty.
Oh yeah, imagine, right? Tax-free, or maybe like the 1080p or 1080 whatever it is, 1070 or 1099. I don't know. I don't pay my no, I do. No, I'm not being called into a court in New York City.
We finally got him. Go, red team, go.
Yeah. So
this whole podcast has just been an elaborate setup by the IRS to get Scott.
Yeah, exactly. It's a sting. Not that sting. I wish it was sting. No. on a side note, guys, talking about sports, this is my usual little tangent before we get to the fun stuff, because we do have plenty of wrestling. We will get to it, everyone. Got plenty of wrestling to talk about. I saw a tweet earlier in the week. I don't know who it was. It was either CBS Sports or Barstool or one of those. Name an athlete that you hated when you were younger and came around on to like now. Is there anybody? And I actually thought I needed to think about it, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I'll do mine last. Nate, is there any athlete that when he was playing in his prime or when he was playing and you were younger, you were like, this guy, no, man, not slowing my roll for him. But now you're like,
yeah. Well, this is not going to be a popular answer, but when he first came into the league, I was not feeling this kid at all. And I didn't like him until he got older. And it feels like that's when we finally saw the real him. Like, I never denied his greatness, but I just didn't like him as a guy. And that's Kobe Bryant. Like, when Kobe was active, I would say, because I was always a Jordan guy. Then I became a LeBron guy, a Duncan guy. Like, those are guys I liked, even if they were playing against my team. Kobe, I feel like if Kobe and I walked into a bar, Steve Willie, worst setup for a joke ever. Kobe wouldn't look in my direction. So I always felt some type of way. And when they had the Shaq Kobe beef, I was Team Shaq 100%.
Oh, yeah.
In that beef, because Kobe snitched. I didn't like Kobe until he got to like the last quarter of his career, I guess, Scotty, when he became like the grumpy old man who wasn't afraid to say what he really thought instead of always being so polished. Like, I love that Kobe. Like, final five years on the Lakers, Kobe. Like, that's I like that Kobe a lot. I just didn't get with Kobe, like, for the first three quarters of his career, I guess.
Fair. Okay. I can see that. The only Kobe that I didn't like, because, I mean, I love the Black Mamba, of course, five rings, was the middle 2000s Kobe. The snitch Kobe that kicked Shaq out, and then we were shit in 04, 05.
The one that was like threatening to leave the team and
go play for the Clippers. Oh yeah, play for Donald Sterling. That's an upgrade. because the worst feeling, like I have a high as a Laker fan and a low. A lot of people think my low as a Laker fan was Game 7 of 84 when we had two chances to win that series against the Celtics and gacked it and Larry won Game 7 at the Garden. Mm-hmm. No, the worst for me was Game 5, 2004, at the Palace of Auburn Hills when we clearly got outplayed by a far inferior, in my opinion, Detroit Pistons team. Sorry. Sorry, Jordan, but they were inferior, you putz. But looking at that billions of dollars on that bench, Kobe and Shaq and Karl Malone and fucking Gary Payton and all of this money. And you know what? they quit. Mm-hmm. They all quit. And I was furious. And I blame Kobe a lot for that. And then when he became single Kobe and won the MVP in 08 and almost beat the Celtics, and then, of course, the back-to-back, yes. But Kobe's different because I don't count – in this question I saw, I don't count athletes that played on my teams because I'll love the guys that played them, most of them anyway. Steve?
Yeah. Good transition from what you had just talked about. Speaking of Auburn Hills, I would say probably Joe Dumars. Ooh. Just because I was such a big Bulls guy, you know, growing up near Chicago. And, you know, that was, you know, the hated Pistons.
So you hated Joe more than Isaiah?
No, like it was just the Pistons itself, you know, as a team. And, you know, back
that's
then.
That's crazy,
really,
Steve.
Well, you didn't really
You actually hated the one Piston that wasn't an asshole?
No, because.
Of all those fucking guys, the one guy you hated.
Lambeer, Rodman.
I hated the whole team.
Sally,
I hated the whole
Sally, yes.
Yeah, I hated the whole team. And then years later, when you're, you know, when you're older and you realize, oh, this was like the shining star out of this team, the one that's actually that's actually likable.
Yep.
Because yeah, that whole team was just like
Steve,
you know,
just hates all Pistons, past, future, and present.
Oh God, yeah.
Just don't get him started on Lindsey Hunter.
Yeah, Cunningham.
Yeah.
There's only one Cunningham we listen to in Wisconsin, and that's Richie.
Buckaroo. Or Bucko. I think it was Bucko. It's funny that all three of our guys are basketball players. We have a ton of other sports, but mine is devastating because I absolutely hated him when he was in his prime. Because literally every time he made it to the finals, I rooted against him, except the last two. And I hate to say it, I love you, Steve Aloysius Willie.
Mm-hmm.
It was Michael Jordan.
Mm.
I fucking hated him. First off, he hit that jumper out of fucking nowhere right in Sleepy Floyd's face in the 82 championship against Georgetown. So he could suck a duck on that. And then after realizing what would happen to Magic in 91, we made that miracle run in the finals. We beat Portland. Sam Perkins hit that three. And then he did that bullshit half dunk flip crap in game two. And then they swept us at the Forum. And I just could not stand the 90s of the end. Especially, I love 90s NBA. Just seeing Mike whenever year made me physically sick.
We are taping this on the man's birthday.
Well, you know what? He'll like what I said at the end. He's going to hear this.
He is going to hear this, and he is going to take this personally.
Yes, cut to the last dance. Oh, I heard Scotty talking about me, and I just took that personally. Like, if you don't want to play that way, don't play that way, Scotty.
Well, you know what, Michael? You're a billionaire, and you got a billion rings, so thick in your skin. You're a shitty owner, too. But no, the only years that I rooted for the Bulls were the two against you, because I fucking hate Karl Malone. But obviously, I rooted for the Lakers in 91. I love that Portland team in 92. I love that Portland team in 92.
Mm.
And they're good enough. I was all in. Like my PIC on the Place to Be podcast, Mr. Azzaro, I was all in on Barkley and the Suns in 93. I loved that team. Yeah. And they did knock my guys out in the first round. I loved that Suns team in 93.
Yeah, it was a fun
team.
And
they probably should have won. They probably should have won because I thought they were actually a better team player for player, my personal opinion. I didn't really have a dog in the fight in 96, but that would have been great if the Sonics fucked all that shit up in 96. Sorry, Steve, I love you. But that would have been awesome.
They might still be in Seattle.
Yeah, they might still be in Seattle. That's true. But the 2 years against Utah, fuck Karl Malone. I can't stand him. I do like John Stockton, although he's a season ticket holder for Gonzaga. He got kicked out because he wouldn't wear a mask. Oh, that's good.
All he had to do was pull those socks up over his face.
Anyway, so that was an interesting question on Twitter. I wanted to bring that to you guys.
I think really quick though, Scotty, I do think basketball lends itself to that though in a way that baseball and football probably don't. Like if Tom Brady ended his career on the Falcons, I wouldn't have been a Falcons fan that last season just because I hate Tom Brady that much. I think that with basketball, you can hate a guy, but at the end of the day, like they're going to do something that you're like, okay, yeah, like that guy's great. Even though I might not like him, he's great. Whereas with like any Yankee that would come to the Braves, I still hated them because they were a former Yankee. I think baseball and football are probably a little bit more tribal than basketball in that way.
Yeah. You're probably right. But lately, I've been watching a ton of Michael on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great channel. It's 80s Classic Sports, I think it's called. And I've been watching a ton of Michael, particularly these last couple year playoffs. And I don't know. He's Michael. You know, you can't really dislike him. I'm not making up for it. And I'm not, you know, sorry. If there's Last Dance, the sequel, he could sit with me and smoke a cigar all he wants. But I still hated his guts when he was playing it as a kid. But that's okay. But anyway, that's just an interesting question. I was very curious your guys' thoughts. All right, let's get to the good stuff. So obviously, what we'll talk about today, tonight, is the big news in All Elite Wrestling as one of the co-founders, which, see, I'm taking this deeper than other people, but Cody Aloysius Rhodes, everybody's got the middle name Aloysius, Cody Rhodes, the co-founder, I'm sorry, the co-founder of this promotion, the co-founder is out of AEW and pretty much apparently right on the way to WWE. And that speaks volumes. And that I'm talking about tonight as well. We'll be talking about. We'll also be previewing Saturday's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. If you're listening to this on Friday, it's tomorrow night. And we'll go over the card. Decent matches. Nothing too... there are a few matches I'm interested in. I want to get Steve and Nate's thoughts on the new NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Matt Cardona, who, of course, won the title last week down in Oak Grove, Kentucky at the NWA Power Trip show. Also, by the way, Anthony Mayweather, the former Crimson, is the new national heavyweight champion. He beat Chris Adonis, which nobody cares because nobody liked Chris Adonis anyway. he was a mess. And we have some ROH news. Apparently, Steve Willey did get his refund check from Honor Club for $6.14. And Steve wanted to lead with that story, but I kind of put the kibosh on that. was it a cashier's check or a money order? Make sure you throw that sucker in the bank quickly before it bounces.
It was a $100 check, but it was only valid for purchasing ROH DVDs.
Exactly, yes. You had to purchase a 9-disc Dalton Castle because there's nothing old anymore. It has to be 9-disc Dalton Castle. No. So, and no disrespect, Dalton Castle. But all right. So obviously, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's hop in, boys, right in the deep end of the pool. The other Kingslayer, because the original Kingslayer is Seth Rollins, but Cody Rhodes, the co-founder, and I'm giving him that moniker, the co-founder of All Elite Wrestling, who was there since the beginning, is officially gone. Out. Did not come up with a deal. Tony Khan let him go. And apparently, it is fairly comfortable that this gentleman is going to the E, World Wrestling Entertainment. Let's talk about the AEW half of it first, and then we'll get to the other stuff. So, obviously, the background is, he, Cody Rhodes, along with the Jacksons and Kenneth, needed some capital because they wanted to start a wrestling promotion. Well, Rick Moranis there, who sat home, you know, with whose bedroom, even though he was a billionaire, was probably just as messy as Dave Meltzer's house, loaded with ECW tapes, bought from guys in New Jersey. Hey, I could start a wrestling promotion. And thus, All Elite Wrestling is born. And they've had a great 3 years. They've had a ton of ups, a down or two, but a ton of ups. And now all of a sudden, the co-founder is gone. A lot of people are just looking at it at face value that it's a money thing. You know, they couldn't come to an agreement. I'm thinking to myself, come to a fucking agreement. This isn't Mike fucking Trout we're talking about here. I mean, this is a guy who put the stamp on this company, not Tony Khan. He just had the wallet. Cody Rhodes was the face of this fucking company from the beginning. And now he's just talent? Something, there's more to this than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. Something is fishy going on here. I'm sorry. Something is rotten in one of those pale countries up in the north. What is it? Finland? No. Something is rotten in Denmark. Something's not right, guys. I'm sorry. This isn't sitting with me as just a simple, like, a releases in WWE, Keith Lee, and all that. There's more to this. The guy, like, wanted no more part of dressing like his brother with weird makeup on his face and all this bullshit. He left. He did some indies. They did the All Out indie show, which I thought was a fantastic show. It was a little wonky in terms of timings and stuff because that tag team match got cut off at the end practically. Mm. But he is All Elite Wrestling. He was the face of it. And he did the right things. He threw his jabs at Triple H, which he should have done. He gave up on that quickly. Thank God everybody else just can't get the fuck over it in that company. But he did. He and his brother, I guess it was what, the first Double or Nothing, had arguably one of my favorite matches of the last like 10 years in all of wrestling. And he has stayed away from the world title. He lost the match to Jericho because MJ, that was beginning MJF's incredible heel turn. So he avoided the world title. He, you know, won the pretty much the Intercontinental title in AEW and all that stuff. And everything I thought he was doing was right. I think him and his wife got a little too YouTube-ish, but that's okay. That's just me. They were the Triple H and Stephanie of AEW. And then you kind of don't see him much. He's losing matches. You're like, eh. And then out of the blue, we can't, quote, come to an agreement. When did one of the guys who co-founded the company have to go get a contract from one of the other guys? And then we find out through the grapevine that he had been stripped of his booking power. Really? The guy whose dad, for better or worse in some cases, is one of the greatest bookers in the history of this fucking business, is being told by a guy who thinks because he watched ECW tapes for 10 years, knows more about booking than he does. This is my monologue, of course. This is not the official view of Place B Nation's main event, but we'll get all to that tonight. But this is, something is fishy, Nathaniel. Something is fishy. Or am I thinking too much into it? But he's not Hangman Page. He's not fucking Moxley. He's not just one of the guys in the company. He was the face of the company. He's the one that was on all the press releases and on all the shit in 2018 and 2019 when the company started. He was the face of Dynamite when it started. What? And over the last 2 years, pretty much since the pandemic, it seems like, that he's kind of warbled off the foundation and now all of a sudden he's gone. Help me, Nathaniel. Help me make sense of this because it just seems too fishy.
Mm-hmm. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, Scotty. Like, I think there is something there. I don't think it's fishy. I would classify it as human nature. And what I mean by that is Tony Khan is a rich man who has always had power. And there's an old saying, I might be misquoting it, Steve Willie, but it's like power doesn't divest itself or give itself up freely. Something to that nature. So I think the minute, like, because I want to say we heard about Tony getting a little bit more control in the booking room. That was probably around the time that photo, quote unquote, leaked with him on the sidelines of the Jags game with the pay-per-view sheet in front of him. And I think beginning where Tony got a little bit more entryway into the creative in the company. And once he got that taste, Scott, Tony K needed the fix. Mm-hmm. And I think when Tony's like, I can do this better than all of you guys. And I think we saw Kenny lost a little bit of stroke in terms of the creative. The Bucks lost a little bit of stroke, but the difference between Kenny and the Bucks and Cody, and maybe you disagree with this, Steve, is I think Cody is probably the most quote-unquote adult out of those four.
I absolutely agree.
Whereas
I agree with Nate 100% on that.
Like, I think, like, Cody has a plan and Cody has a vision that might not align with the other guys. And I mean, I'm including Tony in this as well. So I do think there's layers to it. There's levels to it. Part of it might be money, where, like, you know, Scott, you've been in positions where you're not happy at a job, but you're not ready to leave. So when it's time to talk money, you maybe ask for a little bit more than you know you deserve to see what they say, because then that gives you a reason if they don't accept it to leave. I think that might be a part of what's going on here. I also think that Cody Rhodes is not going to be somebody that is content just to be, at least in AEW, you know, the company that he helped co-found. Cody is not content just to be a hired hand. Cody wants more. And I think Cody is like, well, if I'm going to be a hired hand, why not see what's going on back in Vince land, especially now that I'm coming in with more leverage coming back than I did when I left. Because when I left, they didn't care about me at all. But now me coming on to this program is a big deal. And even Vince has to admit that I'm a big deal now. And I think Cody's like, yeah, let's see what's going on here. The one thing I will say, though, Steve, I feel like just knowing a little bit about the way Cody's mind works from talking to people who have talked to Cody or worked with Cody, I feel like it wouldn't shock me if in 2 years Cody was back in AEW. Because I feel like that's Cody. He's always looking for what's the next thing that people say I can't do that I can go and do.
Talk to Steven.
Okay. I've thought about this way too much over the last.
I thoroughly disagree with you.
No. Steve was on a 1 hour call last night with Brandy, just trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay, yeah.
He was on a 1 hour bender with Brandy on YouTube, is what he was doing.
I need to bring up something before we move on, since you brought up Brandy. That segment with Dan Lambert a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that was all time bad in terms of AEW.
Yeah,
all time bad. And like with the rumors of Cody going to WWE, along with that, the fact that she's not going over to WWE does not surprise me in the bit, like in the least. Like I have no idea what kind of businesswoman she is backstage. It's not something that we see.
You say that now, Steve Willey. Don't be surprised when we're sitting in Los Angeles.
Yeah, a year from I already know where this is going.
And we have that. The main event is a mixed tag with Steph and Triple H versus Cody and Brandy. And I'm like, I told you so, Steve Willey.
Steph, who can almost go one-on-one with Ronda on her own.
And did.
I was there. There's so many. I have so many tangents to go off on. So you're going to need to reel me in at times because I have lots of thoughts on it. So there's two different parts. There's Cody, the booker slash behind the scenes person. And then we have Cody, the in-ring performer. So since you said we'll talk about that part with, like, you know, possibly going to WWE later, I'm going to take the performer aside right now.
Okay.
In terms of the business aspect, it was shocking to me. Like, absolutely shocking. There has been talk, like, a couple years ago, I feel, that Cody and the Bucks and Omega were at odds, with Bucks and Kenny in one side and Cody in another side. And Cody, you know, as most wrestlers, and Tony Khan as well, big ego, right? I remember learning more about that way back in the day on Colt Cabana's podcast when he had Xavier Woods on. And then he had Cody on too, and they were talking. I guess Xavier and Cody knew each other back in high school at times, because they were on the same, because Xavier's from Atlanta, right? Atlanta area. So they were in high school on the wrestling teams at the same time. Like rival schools, and basically Xavier was telling all these stories how Cody was an absolute dick. So this is not surprising from that front, but I think that this is just a long time beef between Cody and Tony, not like in terms of like anger at each other, but like the control of power. Because you're right, Scott, like Cody has always been the front face of the company, more so than the Bucks and Kenny. As the other thing I read this week, and again, this is a couple of years ago, but when NXT beat AEW for that one and only week, and the the numbers were getting of ratings were getting closer and closer. That was when Tony really started to like I'm on a first name basis with him here, kind of pulling the reins a little bit more and take more control of the booking. And that seems like something Tony Khan, not that I know the guy, but just kind of from a basis of knowing psychology, he's going to want that power to be in control when you're up that high in a company, right? It happened with Dark, when AEW Dark, when Max Caster had that rap that kind of went awry and talking about, and he's like, hey, Tony Khan was like, I screwed up. I don't pay attention to that much. I let other people do it. So now I'm taking control of that. And like my first thought was like, how many does this guy sleep? Is he just doing lines of coke? Like how can he possibly do all this stuff?
He's doing the Vince McMahon booking diet of 1983.
Yeah, he's 1986. Pool with Pat.
Book coke. Billy Jack Haynes, book coke.
Yeah. So I think this is just part of Tony Khan's personality. Like okay, something's going wrong. I have to take over, right? I need to control this.
Right.
I think Cody didn't appreciate that. I think Cody wanted to be more, in control. He's not just the front face. He wanted to be, backstage in control as well, make it more of a team. And so I get the fact that that's going to bother Cody. I also think that, geez, can't they just, work something out? In terms of the on-screen Cody, God, it was time for him. It's time for him to go away for a while. I'm not upset about that at all, for many reasons. Like, ever since he started getting booed, this is, my opinion. And I think he got booed. People say, oh, it's because he's got the road to the top, blah, blah, blah. We talked about this before. I think it's because he just put himself in with Aleister Black. And Aleister Black was super popular coming over from WWE. People thought he got a raw deal when he got called up to the main roster, and and I believe that too. Lots of people WWE let go. I don't understand Aleister Black at all. So you put Aleister Black in the ring. He's awesome looking. People feel bad for him. They thought he got a bad rap. They're excited to see what he's going to do. Cody gets booed. He's like the John Cena of the company. And I think Cody took that personally. And ever since then, like his in-ring and his promos have gotten more like break the fourth wall type stuff. And I'm never going to turn heel and just all like this insidery stuff. And it's like that he exists in this whole different reality of the rest of AEW.
Yes, he's in the we talked to Rich Fan today on the Kings of Sports, Steve, and he referred to it as like anything involving Cody or the Nightmare Family or Brandy, that's the Cody-verse. It's his own pocket universe inside of AEW.
Yeah, and I haven't even listened to that like that or anything yet. It's just like the whole, like almost every single angle that he was in, and then he would jump from one angle to another. Then he like would just keep trying to one-up himself, like the whole thing with the fire. With Andrade, where he almost killed himself because he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, and that was a mess.
And then getting the title again, which, apparently if he doesn't have much power, that was on Tony Khan, who decided to give Cody the belt for the third time. And then, 3 weeks later, he's gone. But right at the end, he did this huge match with Sammy Guevara, the latter match, where it's just, same type of stuff where, like a tryhard. And I don't know if he's just trying to prove it to himself and his feelings were hurt. And like, hey, the only place I know how to go where else I can get the money is WWE. Boy, if you think you're going to have booking power there, good luck. I mean, when Vince McMahon's son-in-law, running a very successful brand gets ousted, like you think Cody Rhodes Stardust is going to have any control? Come on.
Then why go? That's the other part of the question. Oh, I'm sorry, Nate. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Oh, yeah, I think it is a good question. I think he goes for two reasons. Number one is the money. Like it's always the money, Scott. Follow the money. Number two, I think in the short run, I feel like Cody will be treated well. but then he'll be treated like everybody else in that company.
Oh, yeah.
Who isn't named Brock or Roman, pretty much. But I do feel coming in, he will be treated at a different level than he was when he left. Because they, like I said, like they, he was an afterthought. When he, like, I think the highest profile thing he did before he left was, funny that you brought up Xavier Woods, Steve, was like they were playing WWE 2K, like whatever year it was when that game came out, and Cody and Woods were playing the game together on the WWE YouTube channel. And shortly thereafter, Cody Rhodes was gone. But I feel like when you bring this Cody Rhodes in, this quote unquote forbidden door Cody Rhodes, I feel like there is money on the table with certain matchups that you can create with your current roster that your audience would be interested in. Now, we've seen this situation happen before on a larger scale with WCW, where you had all these matchups that you would think Vince would be smart enough to give the people, Scott, but we didn't quite get them the way we maybe should have. But I do feel like when Cody first comes in, it's going to be a big deal, and it will get some traction. The other thing is, and I don't know, looking at the macro, because as we all know, you know, you mentioned the ego factor, Steve Willey, and Cody Rhodes has an ego not only because he's a successful professional wrestler, but he's also the man that kind of started this wave that we're on right now, or at least helped start the wave that we're on. He's also the guy that ended racism in that promo that one night.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to talk about that. but I feel like Cody Rhodes' thinking is a door goes two ways. So I like I've done the AEW thing. Let me go back here and see what this could start. Like, I think Cody in his mind probably thinks he can make more change than he actually can. Because it's the athlete thing. Like, I was watching somebody talk about LeBron today and the current construction of the Lakers. And it's like,
ugh, God,
5 years ago, LeBron would have taken this team to the championship. Mm-hmm. Like if everybody else is the same age, but LeBron is 5 years older, LeBron takes this team to the championship. Now, yes. LeBron is like, LeBron's not washed. LeBron's still one of the top 10 players in the league, but he can't do it like he used to. And the athlete's always the last person to know when that magic is gone. And I think Cody's like, hey, I pulled off this crazy magic trick of getting kicked out of the WWE and going to Japan, going on the Indies, doing ROH, creating AEW. And so if I did it once, I can do it again. The reality, though, is probably going to be somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't feel like Cody's going to spark this great change. I also don't think Cody's going to flop, because I feel like this Cody is smarter than the Cody that left, but it'll probably end up being somewhere in the middle where there's a ripple, but it's not the wave that Cody thinks it's going to be.
Where do you think this will compare to Sting coming in to WWE?
That's a good question. That's a real good question, Steve.
Because I thought they left a lot of money on the table with that.
They did.
Like,
well, the problem with Sting was Sting came too late.
Mm-hmm.
Sting should have come in 2011 when they were doing those 2/11/11 promos or whatever the hell that shit was. But by the time Sting got here, he was already, you know, kind of done. I hate to say it.
I mean, you could make, like, I do tend to agree with that, Scotty, but I would also say it's how you present them. Because even now, like, we're seeing 60-year-old Sting have really solid tag team matches on a monthly basis.
I mean, let's be honest, though, Nate. Darby Allin's doing 75% of the work. Or whoever.
But that's what they could have done. WWE could have done that, too.
Right.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
Yeah. Like, I think that, like, the way they presented Sting, the storytelling was off. Like, and I always go back to that match with your boy Triple H. Like, what was the story we were trying to tell there with the NWO and DX and WWF versus WCW?
I still have no idea.
I don't either. I think that was just a big whack-off thing is pretty much what it was.
But yeah. I think that with AEW, you're right. Like, they do protect Sting a lot more than they did on his WWE run. But maybe that's what WWE should have done. Like, maybe he gets his single matches here and there, but we put him in tags with Cena. You know, we protect the guy and you know, keep him away from Seth Rollins and those buckles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm thinking of this, guys. Like, if we were going to get Sting and Taker, at the first weekend in April. Are we getting, like, could Sting have come even when he TNA was still TNA, and we get Sting and Taker at some point between WrestleMania's 26 and 31, before even by 2015? Because let's be honest, guys, if we had like Sting in his condition and Taker in his condition in 2017 in Orlando, I think I would have cried.
Yeah, I've been bad.
I think I would have cried if that was the best we were going to get. Because Roman made that, unfortunately, had to deal with that. And, you know, if everybody watched The Last Ride and everything, we all know that story. But here's my thing on Cody. Getting back to the AEW side of it before we get to the WWE, because I do have an opinion on the WWE. And you guys are both right in that aspect. I get that Rick Moranis there wanted to have, like, these different kinds of guys. And they were all like, let's start this fun little startup, you know, thing. And hey, yay, we don't want to do indies and fuck WWE and yada, yada, yada. All right, fine. I get that. Totally fine with that. But Cody is the one legit businessman that gets every aspect. And you know why? Because it was in his goddamn family. That's why. Kenny could care less. Oh, yeah, cool, dude. I'll jump on this. I don't even know what the fuck EVP means, but I guess I could be one. Sweet. Oh, I get to be in charge of the women? Great. I'll bring in 50, you know, of the women from New Japan and just have them all wrestle each other. And okay, cool. That's great. Go ahead and I'll do that. Hey, let's go play Fortnite or let's go play Anthem or fucking Mass Effect 3 or whatever. I don't know. And the Bucks, let's just be honest. The Bucks are fucking idiots. They're idiots. Okay? They're good wrestlers. And yeah, they print T-shirts and they do fucking YouTube videos making fun of WWE. They're a bunch of children. Okay? And
well, if you look at it, like all of the EVPs, now that we're talking about it, all of the EVPs, you know, I mentioned the Codyverse earlier, Steve, all EVPs are kind of in their own little pocket universe apart from the main show where Cody's doing his thing, where you've got the Bucks, they're like doing their thing where they're always bringing up, you know, the Bullet Club stuff. And then you've got Kenny like doing his silly stuff when he wants to do it. So like all of the EVPs to some extent have had their power reduced. And when like power just doesn't disappear, Scotty. So if Cody's losing power and Kenny's losing power and the Bucks are losing power, who's going to get the power? Your boy Rick Moranis is sitting there like Thanos with all these rings on now.
Yes. Yes. and there's the difference. Kenny and those two guys could give two shits. They're just going to be motoring on through life, playing video games and selling T-shirts and making stupid backwards meta WWE jokes. Cody takes this shit seriously because his dad took it seriously.
He takes his meta WWE jokes seriously.
The Bucks take their meta WWE jokes.
No, they don't care about him. Cody takes his meta WWE jokes seriously.
Oh, well, he did. Yeah, well, he did. But obviously, now, here's the thing. Obviously, let's take the money out of the equation for a minute, because Cody's not broke. Let's make sure that's clear. Cody could very easily gone to Billy and said, hey, how about I show up in Nashville on March 19th or 20th? You know, Nick Aldis beats Matt Cardona to be NWA champion again. That was never finished, because that was supposed to be a best of three. There were 1-1. Cody won it all. At All Out, and then Nick won at the 70th anniversary show. So we still need the best. We still need the rubber match. Do the cool ECW lights go out, lights come up, and I'm standing there, and that place fucking goes nuclear.
Yeah.
And listen, I am an NWA guy, so yes, I do take. I take it personally because unlike some AEW people who talk this way, I don't own the company, so I don't get offended if somebody badmouths NWA because I don't own the company. Maybe some AEW fans should think that way. But. Instead, he's going to take the money with the company that he's bashed the shit out of for 3 years. Why? Because he's a businessman. And he's not stupid. Now, what I think Cody's doing, Steve Aloysius Willie, is I think he's going to, because apparently from what we've heard, the money is pretty good. Because Nick, he's not as bright a bulb on the Christmas tree as Tony is, but they're giving him a ton of money, and he's going to pocket that shit, And somewhere down the line, he'll do it again.
Yep.
Maybe he'll go to ROH. Maybe he'll go to Billy Corgan. Maybe he will maybe try to go to the dojo in L.A. where Carl Fredericks and all those guys and Clark Connors and all those studs in the L.A. You didn't think I knew those names, Steve, huh? You should be very impressed. You didn't think I knew Clark Connors, did you? Right? Is that his name? See, I'm trying to make sure I get it right.
The Rifleman?
The Rifleman, yeah. That's Chuck.
That Chuck Person.
Man, another guy I used to fucking hate that I had more respect, that I enjoyed more when he got older. Is he the one that kicked the ball into the crowd? Was that him?
Do you remember that think name? That was.
Was that he the one that kicked the ball in the crowd in, like, what was it, 99 or something?
I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'm pretty sure.
So Cody's like, listen, if this fucking stupid old man's going to pay me this kind of money, shit, I'll job to fucking, I don't care. I'll job to raise kid. I'll job to that dipshit with the fucking suspenders. Just pay me, man. And then when my deal's up, I'm fucking out of here and I'm going to go do something else. That's the difference here. Vince is the one getting played.
Cody's not, unlike some of these guys, Cody's not locking himself into a 5-year deal.
No, he's not. I think it's
like
three.
Cody's gonna, at most it's gonna be a 3-year deal for Cody. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like he's smart enough to not lock himself in, A, because of the age he's at right now, Steve Willie.
Like but also six.
Yeah. But also because he knows he's got options. Like people are like Cody, and I said this earlier on the Kings of Sport. If Cody was going to make this move to the WWE, this is the time to do it, because Cody is probably not going to be as hot as he is now coming off of this AEW run. Right. So you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Yep.
He's actually in a position to not make demands of Vince McMahon, but to make suggestions that Vince might be open to.
And guys, I mean, maybe I'm really now going off the deep end here, but you know, who's to say that that Jean-Paul doesn't walk over to him and go, so listen, I don't know how to do for you here, and you know, the throne blowing up thing, that was cool. I got to give you props for that. And Cody's like, you know, man, you know, I always respect.
He would have done the same thing.
Yeah, he would have done the same thing.
He would have done the same thing to me. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
Like, I'm like, I can't take credit for it. Rich, like, I take credit for the mixed tag idea, but Rich Fan today, like, imagine we're in SoFi a year from now, gentlemen, and Trips and Stephanie go through this whole elaborate entrance, and they come out on the throne and everything, and then lights go out, and then the throne that we just saw is broken, and we hear like, there's more than one royal family in wrestling. That place would go nuts.
Yeah. Now, would we get the dog and DDP and fucking everything? All the
I mean, like, you know, QT Marshall's got to be a part of this.
Yeah, that's the part of Cody that is that I don't care for.
Cody, good to see you. What the hell is that on your neck? What are you, the rash?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, you got to think about it from Cody's – like, Cody set a lot of dudes up in positions that probably wouldn't have been in those positions if not for Cody. Thinking about AEW, like QT Marshall got a pay-per-view payday. Yeah. You know, Shoddy Lee Johnson is getting TV matches in a way that he might not have if not for that affiliation with Cody. I think that Cody, whatever you want to think about Cody the character, I think Cody the guy, Cody the EVP, did a lot of good for that company and a lot of the workers in that company that can't be understated.
Correct. I agree.
And the other side of it too, and I agree with all that, is like, you know, I watch every week. The show's a hell of a lot better the last few months than it was before. Yeah. A hell of a lot better.
I really do think, guys, that, and I've said this all along, and I don't, and I'm not being a fanboy or anything, even though technically it is a free country and I'm allowed to be, but I'm not in this case. I've said all along since March of 2020 that WWE is held back because of the pandemic. And I really do think that there's that more is to come. And I feel like, and this is a Nick thing. This is the other con. This is con, that other con. Cody Trek 2, the Wraths of Cons. you know, Buried Alive, Rick Moranis. No, I think that I think that Nick is telling Vince that, listen, we don't have full crowds. Let's save some of our bullets and just kind of coast and, you know, sign Brock every once in a while. Hey, let's send Goldberg to Saudi Arabia, because I still think that's the funniest fucking thing ever. That's the most WWE thing ever. Send the awesome Jewish wrestler to wrestle in Saudi Arabia every time.
Every time.
Every time.
You mentioned Nick Khan, Scott, and I think it's no small part of this discussion that when you look at Cody Rhodes, what he's become over the past 2 years in AEW, Cody Rhodes has not only become a huge part of that company, but he's also become ingrained in the Warner family in terms of the television stuff with show, with the Go Big Show or whatever. Like, I think Cody Rhodes as an entertainer outside of wrestling has built up his brand over the past 2 years. Like, I was doing, you know, our dear friend, Vanessa Shark, Steve Willie, doesn't watch wrestling at all. And we were talking a couple months ago about Doom Patrol. And I was telling her the only place I see commercials for Doom Patrol are on AEW, because they're all under the Time Warner umbrella. And she was like, oh, that's the wrestling? I was like, yeah, you know, they got out. She's like, is that where that one that Cody guy wrestles? And she doesn't even know Cody Rhodes, but she knew, like, that guy from that wrestling thing is always on these Warner Brothers projects. And I think that's not a small thing when you think about Cody Rhodes coming to the WWE with Nick Khan kind of in that room. He's like, yeah, like, that's a guy that we can make money with.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, it's interesting. And the more we talk about it, like, the more you see, you know, the Rhodeses are out for the Rhodeses. And is there anything wrong with that? No, not really. It's actually, like, if you think of the tribalism between some of the AEW fans and the WWE fans, we all know who we're talking about. Like, it just shows that, like, hey, if they don't care, maybe, you know, if the co-founder doesn't care, maybe you should settle down a little bit.
Yep. And you know what's funny? Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
I say, just in general, you know, like, I'm more of an AEW fan than WWE fan. I say this each show, that I don't cheer or try to put down the other one as much. I want them both to succeed. But you know what? I'll never be on the side of the billionaires of either company, or any company for that matter. Go and get yourself some money.
It's funny you say that, Steve, because I was just saying to a few people earlier in a work call I was on that that's why I think the major league strike, this lockout, will end and we will have baseball. Because unlike in the past where you had, you know, people that were labor people, pro-union or anti-union, and they would support the players, and then you had the owners who thought the players were selfish and they're already been – or whatever, and then you got owner, you know, anti-owners and yada, 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 whatever. But this is the first time where I think people are like, you both make a ton of money, and a lot of us right now aren't making shit, so fuck you and play, because we need your entertainment, and I don't give two shits about whether there's an extra year of arbitration or how many extra points or percentages. No, none of us give a shit. Just play.
And I think that's why the players are getting more support from fans this time, because the owners were the one that locked the players off, you know,
exactly
out.
And the union is actually, and I read an article in CBS Sports, the union is, you know, going back on, they're trying to alleviate some things. But mind you, they have a commissioner that's about as smart as either of the Bucks. So
listen, you know, owning a baseball team, you don't make much money on that, Nate. You know that, like, that's what the commissioner told me last
week. It's a family business.
It is a family business. You know, even though 5 minutes later, you know, I think it was like Wall Street Journal said that the average baseball team made over double the return of the S&P 500 stocks just in a year.
It's like a family that owns a football team and a soccer team, thinking they know anything about wrestling. Oh, I'm sorry. Considering your football team is fucking garbage, and you know, they had to do with your own
Blake Bortles, baby.
Yeah. So
how many football teams get commemorated on NBC sitcoms? Just the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Just the Jaguars.
Yep. So, I mean, I just really been thinking about this ever since it's gone down, and I was looking forward, so forward to having our show tonight because I really wanted to jump into this. I know this was one topic where we all had very differing opinions, and I'm not trying to – because I think – I agree with you, Nate, and I think both of you said it. If Cody thinks he's going to go to Stanford and become Roman Reigns – no, that's not happening. No, you're not. No. Would a Cody Roman match be great? Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah.
Is Cody a great wrestler? He's okay. He's a good storyteller. That's in his blood.
More of a storyteller, yeah.
Yeah, I'll say he's more of a storyteller than a bell to bell. He's a good storyteller.
I mean,
I'm not missing him on Dynamite. I was talking with Jordan and our buddy Todd Weber and Brad and Chad the other day. When this happened and we were trying to play, and I brought it up in our chat too, like, who would you rather have Cody on TV instead of an AEW? Like, who would you rather see, Cody or this person? And Cody was kind of down towards the bottom of the list of people we wanted to see. Now, definitely above QT Marshall. Definitely above QT Marshall. The entire Nightmare Factory.
Yes. Now, during this conversation, Steve, did you tell Jordan Duncan you hated Joe Dumars?
No, I hated the whole Pistons.
Everybody hated the whole Pistons.
I was just the kid. I was just a kid.
James Edwards, he was a pain in the ass.
Steve's like, there's something about this Dumars fella that I don't like.
I don't like.
Well, and then I didn't like any of the other, because that was the question. The question was, who did you not like? And then later on, like, I still don't like any of the Pistons.
No, I don't know.
Joe Dumars is good.
Yes.
No. Yeah. So but,
yeah, I think this is a big deal because, you know, Chris mentioned it today. In a month where we had The Rock apologizing, where we have Stone Cold Steve Austin news, all everybody's talking about is Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And if you had told me that would be the case 3 months ago, I would not have believed you, Scott. So I think like Cody's not going to become the face of the WWE, but I think if Vince is smart, he maximizes Cody's value, at least in the short run, because there are some really good matchups. Like one of the matchups we were kind of tossing around, like that could be really fun and interesting is if John Cena wanted to come back for a little run, like a Cena Cody feud could be really interesting in terms of that storytelling.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Where you got like the longtime standard of the company, the baby face of baby faces versus this dude that just came off of a run where that was the whole crux of his character.
Yeah. Yep. Since Roman kind of has a lock on the Universal title right now, because you better pick somebody, you better think. It's kind of like it's getting at this point like Taker's streak. You better think very long and hard who's going to end that. The Raw belt or the WWE championship's kind of all up in the air.
Yeah.
No surprise at some point Cody becomes WWE champion. I totally see it. And eventually, guys, Nick Khan's going to finally realize from an entertainment perspective, giving Brock Lesnar, you know, $775,000 payouts for 2 months of goofing off
and Goldberg.
Is going to start.
Yeah.
And Goldberg.
Yep.
Well, at least they're burning through those, is actually not as cost effective as a guy like Cody who can do a lot for us. And maybe he'll want to stick around. And maybe he's a guy, Vincent Kennedy Cyborg McMahon, somebody that you may want to trust down the line. You love his dad.
Yeah. I'm just thinking go ahead. I'm sorry, Scott.
I was going to say, you loved his dad. You broke his balls, but you loved his dad. Everybody did. Triple H loved his dad. Half of that fucking NXT roster, actually that entire NXT roster loved his dad. Yeah. That's my son. I think back to that line from WrestleMania. I forgot which one it was when, Dusty goes, man, I raised some weird kids. I still think that. That's like one of my favorite Mania. Dust, rest in peace, Dust. Still miss you, buddy. So
well, the ahead, other thing too is I think, you know, we've talked a lot about Cody with this, and that would be a fascinating podcast, like Steve diving into the psychology of one Cody Devante Rhodes. I think there's a lot there in that. Like, I think there's the ego, but I also think Cody wants to be a change agent, but he's also selfish. And so yep. Those two things kind of pulling back and forth on each other. But the other thing I'll say, Steve, is we've seen this play run a couple times before with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. Who were at a certain level when they left WWE, went somewhere else, you know, went and had that spirit quest, and then came back with a new attitude and a new, you know, kind of swagger about them. And yep. I think Cody coming back, Cody wouldn't be in this position if he had stayed this entire time in the WWE. He'd have been stuck where he was. So I think Cody coming back, much like Drew, much like Bobby, it's weird. Like, Vince values you more when you leave and come back sometimes than if you stay and are loyal.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the thing I've been thinking about for the last few days. Mm-hmm. The dichotomy between someone coming in from the outside for the first time and then someone leaving and coming back. And Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley were the only ones I could think of, mm-hmm. of people who came, left for a long time and then came back and remained in a good situation and wasn't, like, absolutely buried. I mean, Bobby had a rough start. Yeah. And he had the thing with his sisters or whatever. Was mm-hmm. that when he came back?
Yep.
Because and then the other
and then he was Lana's piece of meat in the yep. Rusev feud.
So Bobby had
that first year and a half of Lashley's return was rough, because that was also when he was like smacking on his ass cheeks for mm-hmm. weeks on end.
So yeah, so, I forgot
so
about
it
that.
Took a, yeah, so it took a while, is what we're saying. Drew, it didn't really take that long. He was pretty much up. But then, like, I was trying to think, like, really, even since WCW. Ended in ECW, like, how many guys have come from the outside and have found success, mm-hmm. maintained success pretty quickly on the main roster? And, like, over the last, like, 15 years, the only guys that really came to mind were AJ Styles.
Yeah, AJ was where I was going to go.
And I would go with Kevin Owens too, because he really wasn't in NXT that long, and, you know, compared to other people like say Adam Cole, who was there like the entire time.
Yeah,
he mm-hmm. was with WWE. Like, Kevin Owens is only there for like a year, if even that. Those are like the only two guys who I could really think of that. Look how many people came up from NXT and just got buried immediately, despite mm-hmm. their full potential. So I'm wondering where Cody Rhodes is going to fit in there. Is he going to be on this Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre run in terms of long term? You think that they would be smart enough to do that because of the storyline? Or is Vince going to make a point of it because, like, mm-hmm. you started another company? You were my competition. I'm going to make you look like Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff, yep.
DDP, and, you know, basically just ruin you off the bat. And Cody, you know, smart enough to probably know that, and the money must be real good.
Or you do what your father did in 1989 and
put on the polka dots, baby.
Yep. Yeah, baby. Or make a rib into something special, like mm-hmm. his brother did in 1995.
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. his brother was handed that and had to deal with fucking Scott Hall's homophobia and all that other crap.
Mind games, Scott. It's just mind games.
No, it's just mind games. Yeah.
It's just mind games. Yeah. And, you know, you never know. You never know. But yeah, I do think that, yeah, I just needed to, it was not more the fact that he left and WWE. I had said, I think a while back on an episode. Oh, I have a Peacock playing in the background, guys. Did you know that, they're doing a documentary on the history of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Mm. On Peacock?
In on that. On Peacock. Yeah.
It's such a strange channel.
Narrated by Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
Oh, now I see. Now I really see why they brought him in.
Yep, exactly. Ice Cube presents the Art of Rap. They're doing all these. Well, I mean, obviously it is Black History Month, so they're probably doing a.
Yes, they're like, what do we have in the, what do we have in production we can put on Peacock this month?
Yeah. So, oh God, no, I have on in the background. I go to the best of. Oh God, this match I never want to watch again. Like, I have
how
in the
many
background
episodes of Young Rock can we run on Peacock this month?
Or Everybody Hates Chris.
Yes.
I think that was on NBC. No, I have in the background the best of WWE, like all those seasons, and I just have the 10 best Mania matches. And actually, speaking of your boy, Rock Cena from 28, the first match, not the one at MetLife.
The was once on. In a lifetime.
The sequel? Yes. And now, of course, the Iron Man match just came on. I'm like, oh, God, if I never watch that match again, it will be.
Which one?
I mean, the Iron Man.
Okay.
I don't want to say that match is overrated, although some people may say it is. I think I'm just fried. I mean, aren't we just fried on that match at this point? I mean, am I fried on anything Sean Brett, like, ever now? Like, Montreal, the fucking sunny days, like, all that crap. And then, you know, Brett came back in 2010, and they fucked up TNA's big Monday night show, and which was terrible anyway. And if you guys remember that, that was TNA's one chance to do live Monday night, and they were going to do that, I think it was Kurt and AJ in a cage, or Kurt and Jeff in a cage, or something like that. And then, of course, they had to have the Bischoff and Hogan come out, and then Six comes out, and then Hall comes out. We go, all right. Click on Raw. Hey, Sean and Brett are hugging. This is cool. Like, you know, the whole thing totally fucking destroyed that. So anyway, we'll obviously talk about this over the incoming episodes and see where Cody Matthias Rhodes will be. Or what is it? Cody Devante Rhodes. I'm writing that down.
Yes, his legal government name.
His legal government name, just like yours is Nathaniel. I'm not sure about your middle name yet. And of course, Steve is Stephen Aloysius Gunther Gable Willie. So,
yes.
And mine, of course, is Levesque. So anyway, but think about it. Cody and Triple H on the side going, listen, let's pool our money and go talk to Billy Corgan. You don't worry about the face paint. You're never going to have to wear that slop like your brother did. But
let's get Scotty's fantasy booking now. Scotty's got Rick Moranis.
Cody's like, do we have to bring Shane along? And Hunter's like, he's family.
Yeah, fuck yeah, but not my family. Fuck him. So, all right. So we'll talk. Obviously, Revolution. AEW is still going, obviously, and they have a pay-per-view in a few weeks. I think our next episode. But by the way, guys, for those that don't know, I think I'll be mentioning it this weekend. The doctor and I on the NWA Saturday special next Wednesday, guys. Where is Dynamite? You know,
Bridgeport. I hope you're going.
Western Bank Arena in Bridgeport. And guess who's going to be in the building?
Oh, that's awesome. It'll be a fun time.
Wearing my Triple H t-shirt. No. I got it. But see, somebody said to me, goes, Scotty, it's because some of the guys like, Scotty, you can't wear like an AEW shirt. That's not you, man. You have to wear. It's like when I gave my exasperated look to Hacksaw Jim Duggan at WrestleCon in 2013. You have to be a clear gimmick, man. You need to wear a Triple H shirt to AEW. No, I said, no. Now I'm going to wear a Cody shirt on Wednesday.
I was going to say, you either got to wear a Cody shirt or a Bearcat Keith Lee shirt.
Oh, no.
Bearcat. All right. Anyway, okay. So let's go now to the Flamethrower, where Cody will not be in Saudi Arabia on Saturday. Because you're not blowing up thrones in the middle of that thing. God only knows where you'll end up.
I mean, maybe that's the plan.
But maybe.
Maybe Cody's doing Cody's doing an inside job for the government.
Whose throne? Your throne.
Like, the government of Saudi Arabia is like, you know, Cody, we saw what you did for racism in America. Can you help us?
Yes, exactly.
Please, Cody, cut a promo on our government that will bring people together.
Yes, and let the women show their skin, please, because we're going to have a bunch of t-shirt matches on Saturday. All right. So, of course, the Elimination Chamber is this Saturday in the spaceship. Because that fucking stadium is weird looking. Too many t-shirt matches.
I don't know why I found that so funny, but.
Um, It's like the no midriff rule.
Yeah. So, it's like when Attitude Era people show up at your local indie and they're wearing gym shorts and a school shirt.
It's like that fucking
track pants. Like
yeah.
It's like that infamous Chris Jericho picture when he's a kid and he's getting an autograph with Ricky Steamboat. It looks like he just did some of Billy Jack Haynes' blow. Those kind of fucked up pictures. All right. So they're in Jeddah. If you're listening to this on Friday, tomorrow night for the Elimination Chamber. By the way, guys, on a side note, what are your thoughts before we move on? It seems like, and this is, look, I have to admit, if this is a Tony, if the, Tony, wrong. God, wrong one. If this is a Nick Vince thing, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Saturday shows again?
I love it.
I gotta be honest. I love it. Yeah.
I never understood why they did Sundays. I mean, it must have been like just a cable thing back in the day, and they just
did with it. Back in the day, they bounced around because don't forget SummerSlam, because SummerSlam was the pay per view I got with my crew. We were all in charge of different pay per views. I was the SummerSlam kid. That was Monday night. The Rumble.
Oh, that's right.
There were a couple of Saturday night Rumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Survivor Series was Thanksgiving. So it wasn't always. I think it became Sunday, became like the day, obviously, in the mid-90s. I think everybody did Sunday.
Yeah.
So, but I'm digging it. Now, the pay-per-view after Mania, which is because some of the guys are going, Mr. Azero, I think D'Amato's going, a few people are going, Matt Souza. May 8th, WrestleMania Backlash. That show is up in Providence, and that's a Sunday. It's actually Mother's Day.
Jesus. Yeah, that's
nice job, Nick Khan. Yeah. Notice I blame him and not Vince. But, I mean, Vince used to do Father's Day ones. That's different. You know, dads are wrestling fans. Because I remember there have been a few King of the Ring pay-per-views over the years that have been on Father's Day. Then again, don't forget, guys, pay-per-views at night, you know. Maybe you're like my mom, and Mother's Day was great when you weren't there. So you know, pay-per-view was actually a benefit. Gave you something to do to get the fuck out of the house or go to a Yankee game or a Met game, or at least in my era. Or, you know, Nate was going to the launching pad in Hotlanta, and Steve, of course, was going to Comiskey and get stuff thrown at him with his neck, with his Cubs neck tattoo. No.
Red, white, and blue, baby.
If you ever get a Cubs neck tattoo, Steve, I will respect for you. All right, so we have 8 matches on the card for tomorrow night, Saturday night. How many title matches? 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, and then we have 2 chambers, 1 for a belt, 1 for a title shot. So in other words, it's a number one contenders chamber and a couple of other wonky things too. All right, let's start. We won't go nuts with them. Rey Mysterio, thankfully not his son, wrestling, taking on The Miz. I don't know the storyline right now. I'm kind of in. I don't know if it matters. I just hope The Miz wins. No disrespect to Rey, but he's probably cooked. What do you think, Nate?
I mean, you would think that, but here's the thing: when you like one of the reasons I rarely watch these shows in Jeddah, Scotty, is because I feel like we talked about the Codyverse with AEW.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like these shows are in their own pocket universe a lot of times.
The Jeddahverse? They're in
the Jeddahverse.
Ding, 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 ding.
Where a lot of times what happens on these shows, like they'll mention it on the main shows, but it's almost inconsequential to the broader story.
It's almost like it's pretty much a glorified house show.
Yes. And so,
right.
So I feel like if this were like regular WWE programming, I'm looking at The Miz, but this is like, you got to think they're like, there's a reason Goldberg is back, and it's not because he's the greatest wrestler in the world or he's hot right now. It's because that's who the king wants to see. You know, the king likes the old school characters. And I feel like between that and WWE 2K launching next month, Ray's going to get the dub here.
What do you think, Steve?
Why is this match happening? I did hear that.
The king demands it.
Yes, the king demands it.
The king said, get me Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, I did hear that the Miz told Dominic that Eddie might be his father because Dominic is taller than Ray. So that might be why this match is happening. I'll lean with you, Nate, on that one. If it was any other show, the Miz would win by trickery. But in this case, it makes sense that it will be Ray, and then like the Miz will probably destroy. Do some Domino and Cherry.
If you tell me Dominic comes back, Steve, I would kiss you if you ever told me. Come back. I love
wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah,
sadly wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, and then Miz will get his win back, of course. Probably the following week.
Now to Nate's point, you're exactly right, Nathaniel, about that the Jeddah shows are usually just glorified house shows, but they actually made one of the major shows a Jeddah show, which is very weird. That I was not expecting when they were doing, I was waiting for the chamber promo when I was watching the Royal Rumble, and I was not expecting it to be in Saudi Arabia. I was not, but maybe the Prince is like, stop giving us this garbage and give us like an actual show. Yeah. Give us the show with the giant cage and the things that people could be locked up in. Now, that's my cup of tea.
Can we electrify it? Not a gimmick. Not with fireworks. Can we actually electrify it?
Like Abdul the Butcher and Cactus Jack.
Yes.
Only more death.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, our first t-shirt match of the show is actually one. I'm actually kind of looking forward to this match for some reason. Ronda Rousey, my girl, and Naomi taking on another one of my girls, Charlotte Flair, and Sonya Deville. Of course, each of them are in feuds. I don't think this match means much. I would not be surprised. Ronda's not going to get pinned.
No.
But I would not be surprised if Naomi gets pinned here to build that feud, and then Charlotte like puts Ronda in the figure eight or the figure eight or whatever, just to kind of build juice here. So I'm going to go with Charlotte and Sonya to kind of build for Mania. What do you think, Steve?
I think Naomi's going to get the pin on Sonya Deville after a double team, possibly Ronda over Sonya Deville. Like Charlotte's not going to get pinned here. I'm just wondering how messy this could be, because you have Ronda coming off of a few year absence, and obviously she's not really a trained professional wrestler to begin with. Charlotte Flair has been known to get frustrated this past year with Nia and with Becky. Sonya Deville has been off for a very long time. Naomi has been only used, unfortunately, here and there over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So this might get sloppy, although I don't think it's going to get much time.
No, I don't think it is either. And Charlotte better not get a short fuse. This is not the kind of match to do that.
No. I like all four of these women. I really do.
Oh, I do too. I absolutely do, too. Yeah. I love Naomi. I love Naomi. Maybe she needs a better husband, but I love Naomi. But I love Naomi. What do you got, Nate?
I hope. You know me, Steve Willie. I root for chaos. I hope Charlotte Flair starts taking liberties with Ronda Rousey, because I want to see how that turns out.
We all know how that's going to turn out. Not well.
No, not well. But I think that with the Sonya Naomi storyline, like I thought it was done when she got that win on SmackDown before the Rumble. Mm-hmm. I thought that was it, but then we had to restart it during the Rumble.
Right.
So I feel like this might be the final chapter in that. So that way we can move Naomi into something else, but there's nowhere else to move her because the Mania program is with Charlotte and with Ronda, and maybe they'll end up throwing Becky in there too, because you know how they love that. But I feel like Naomi's kind of stuck. So whatever the finish is, it's going to involve Naomi and Sonya. Either Naomi beats Sonya, which leads to more feuding, or Sonya cheats and beats Naomi, which leads to more feuding, Steve Willie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, neither Sonya Deville or Naomi are going to end up on either of the WrestleMania cards, you would think.
Mm. Oh, yeah. We've got two nights to fill, Steve Willie. Don't.
Well, yes, okay, there's going to be a battle royal. The Snickers, not fabulous Moolah Memorial.
And sadly, I'm only going to get drunk one of the two nights. So I hope Ronda and Charlotte wrestle on Saturday, because Sunday I may not remember much. So anyway, because we will be doing the Mania Club tailgate on Sunday. All right. Our first chamber match is actually a number one contenders Mania match. The winner of this chamber match will face Becky Lynch in Dallas for the Raw Women's. It says for WWE Women's Champion, but we all know she's not losing before then. So the winner gets Becky in Dallas. Your participants are Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki, Ash Williams. Sorry, I had to make my Evil Dead quote there. And Alexa Bliss. I got to be honest, this match seems like a gimme to me. It feels like a gimme to me, but I don't know. I'll give my pick last. Nate, what do you think?
First of all, it feels like we just got this without the cage on Monday night.
Right.
That gauntlet match they did. But here's the thing. Like, it should be Bianca by any reasonable estimation, but we know Vince McMahon loves to swerve us, Steve Willie. So my pick is Bianca, but I wouldn't be 100% shocked if the returning Alexa Bliss didn't win this.
Oh, God, I didn't even think of that. Bianca starts having, like, black goo come out of her braids.
Yep. Yep. Oh, that's another question. Like, how much, because half of Alexa now is in the mysticism. How much of that are we going to get in Jeddah?
How many women characters in the WWE now have split personalities? Is this three now? Because they have, is it Saray down in NXT? And even Dakota Kai is kind of like split personality going on, and Alexa Bliss? It's almost like
guys, Bruce Pritchard thinks
women are crazy. Insane.
Vince is like Sinbad in the 90s. Women be crazy, man. And they be shopping.
That is hilarious. All right, so Nate, you like Bianca, or do you like Alexa? What do you think, really?
My head says Bianca. My heart says Vince is going to screw us and go with Alexa just for the chaos.
So you mean your heart? So what you mean is your heart says Bianca.
Yes.
And your head says, all right, and your head says, okay, you said it in reverse. I just want to make sure. Steve?
The only possible outcome of this match is Bianca Belair winning the match, then going on to WrestleMania to defeat Becky Lynch. That is the only possible outcome. So
you're making too much sense now, Steve Willie.
Yeah, so I pick Rhea Ripley. Because she's been pretty over, and I bet she'll have a pretty cool entrance at Mania. But then they'll also figure out a way to get Bianca Belair and Alexa in like a four-way or something at Mania.
I thought you were going to say she's going to have the coolest entrance on Saturday. I'm like, what? Her t-shirt will be bedazzled?
Yes, it will have. Yes, very much so. There will be more sequins on Rhea Ripley's outfit than any of the other five competitors. And I want us to come back and see if I was right next time.
I know. I'm flat out think it's going to be Bianca. So I don't think there's any question. I was there. I was sitting in the Roomba back in August, and we were sitting there, all of us. And I remember walking around the concourse during some match I didn't care about. And people were just, they were not happy. And they love, you know, Becky's hot, but they were not happy. We have, look, title reigns have to end. It's the way it goes. And I'm sure at some point Bianca was fine with eventually needing to lose so she can do other things and build herself up. That sucked. You know, Sasha had to bail because she had the vid or something. I don't know. And then that's what we got. And I felt so bad for her. I was devastated. And I love Becky, but I love Bianca. And it just makes sense at this point. So, which means it's not going to happen and Doudrop's going to win. Anyway, no. I do like Doudrop, though, and she wrestled a pretty damn good Rumble match. I will defend the Doudrop. She was great. But I'm going to just straight flat out say it. Even money on Bianca. And I think Bianca wins I think something tells me that match will be Saturday and Ronda Charlotte Sunday. That's my take. It won't be the same night, obviously. But that's my take. I think Bianca, Becky on Saturday, Ronda Charlotte on Sunday. That's my take. Next up, we have a Falls Count Anywhere match. Love those. Drew McIntyre is... He's taking on this dipshit? Oh, fuck's sakes. Drew McIntyre, instead of wrestling Happy Corbin, who we don't care about either way, we're going to have Drew McIntyre take on his doofus pygmy here, Madcap Moss, with his dumb fucking American males fucking suspenders. I hope Drew literally pulls this guy's limbs off. Evil Dead style. Steve Willey.
I've talked about this client I've had before who will come in and talk about wrestling. And he said, wouldn't it be funny if Drew McIntyre took his sword and literally stabbed Madcap Moss in the heart? And I thought he was joking, but then I wasn't so sure if he was joking or not.
I thought you, swear to God, Steve. I swear to God. It must be something in the air tonight because we're all fucking making our... I thought you were going to say this guy walked around with no shirt and suspenders.
Oh. I thought that'd be awesome.
Like fucking Scotty Riggs.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
I thought that's what you were going to say. I have this client who dresses like Scotty Riggs.
That... Oh, God, if I had a client come in with, like, a curly mullet.
Looking like Barry Horowitz.
Like the perfectly dyed scruff that he had. That would be sweet.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, shit. Nate, what do you think? Oh, sorry, Steve.
No, that's my pick.
Yeah, okay.
Drew McIntyre stabs him in the heart with a sword.
All right, what do you got, Nate?
Yeah, like the fact that you actually have me, Vince McMahon, feeling some bit of empathy for the king of Saudi Arabia having to sit through this match tells you this doesn't need to be on a pay-per-view. Excuse me, a premium live event. Mm-hmm. This is not premium live event worthy, Steve Willey. This is not worth my Peacock money. this is a Raw match. Drew's, like, obviously Drew McIntyre. But yeah, this is a match nobody asked for and nobody will remember.
Nope, not at all.
If he gets stabbed in the heart, you're going to remember it.
Yep. Although the Saudis won't let you remember it, so you never know. Maybe that's why they're doing it there.
Oh, get the biggest pop. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's true. All right, next up, we have our singles match for the Universal Championship. The best guy still in the company, Roman Reigns, defending against Goldberg. Nobody cares. Match will be... Roman wins. Nate.
Yeah, short match. Goldberg gets a spear in, maybe even gets a jackhammer in, but Roman wins because we got to keep Roman hot for Cody Rhodes.
I got to be honest, I don't think he can do the jackhammer anymore. I don't think he can lift, because we saw the match with Taker.
He'll try.
He can barely lift. Yeah, he will try. Jeddah's like practicing. It's like no one's gonna watch the show and notice if I botch this fucking jackhammer and break Roman Reigns' neck. Nah, no one's gonna notice. What do you think, Steve?
You know, that's a good point to put Roman Reigns, your clear number one person in the company for the last couple of years by a long shot, and putting him into the ring with Goldberg, who's sloppy. That's a little dangerous now that I think about it. I wish they did prop bets for premium live events. Because we could do the who has the most sequins on their t-shirt in the Elimination Chamber.
Yes.
And then the other one would be the over under on the time of this match. Because there's been, you know, there was that infamous Goldberg Kevin Owens match that I was at in Milwaukee at
the Fastlane
a few years ago. That was like 1 minute, and it was one of the last WWE shows I went to.
Yeah, 1 minute of misery.
Yeah, it was a match I was actually excited for. But yeah, Roman's gonna, he has to win this match.
Yeah, he will. He is. Speaking of shitty husbands, here are the Usos. Your SmackDown Tag Team Champions taking
on to be fair, Scotty, we don't know if they're bad husbands. We just know they're bad drivers.
They're bad drivers, and they also can't handle their, you know, hobbies of imbibing. Anyway, that is true.
But they're lovely. They're lovely husbands. Other than that,
yeah, I know.
I'm sure they had a very romantic Valentine's Day, hopefully followed by an Uber ride home.
Exactly. Come on, Nate. I'm trying to get you some Naomi here because your other girl, she's gone. So, so the Usos will defend.
I mean, that actually works out to my advantage. She's not on TV anymore. She probably misses the crowd, the cheering.
Yeah.
I can be your one man universe.
There you go. The Usos, Jay and Jimmy, will defend the SmackDown Tag Team titles against the Viking Raiders, Eric and Ivar. This might be, in terms of in-ring, maybe the most entertaining match of the night. It could be pretty fun. I think the Usos keep it. I can't see any. I mean, I could see the Viking Raiders pulling off the upset, but I'm not. I don't know. What do you think, Nate?
I don't see the Viking Raiders winning. I think the Usos are consistently giving you quality tag matches, regardless of the opponent. But B, from a story perspective, I don't think you start to remove things from Roman's sphere, Steve, until you're getting ready to remove the belt from Roman.
All good point.
Yeah, no, good point. I agree. Speaking of Becky Lynch, she will be defending the Raw Women's Championship against Lita. So a little Legends action, kind of like Goldberg, but Lita's, I think, will be better. This match might be fun. I think this match might be a little hard hitting. I think Lita's ready to rock and roll here. She's obviously not going to win. Becky's going to win, but this could be fun, Steve.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this match. Just to see, I'm hoping Lita does well. I thought she did fairly well in the Royal Rumble. I don't know if you guys saw the story. There was an interview with Lita to build up to this match. And she said that she got the call to be in the Royal Rumble one day before the match.
Wow.
That sounds very WWE-ish.
It does, doesn't it? One day. And they didn't decide.
Lita, what are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. Why? You want to be in this Rumble?
We don't have enough women on our main roster to put together a Rumble.
I know. Kind of sad.
Yeah, that was. And so this match wasn't even supposed to happen. This didn't come together until after the Royal Rumble. But yeah, I this is fun. It's kind of you know, present day versus past, but in a way that actually makes sense, where this is Becky Lynch's role model, at least in storyline. I don't know if that's a legitimate thing, but from one generation to another. I wish this could have happened maybe a couple of years ago, but I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be. And then finally, a match that has, might as well open the show with it, because it's about
you don't want to hear my thoughts about the women's title, Scott?
I'm on the phone with Naomi, and she doesn't really want it. No, I'm only kidding. No, go ahead, Nate. No, I was just,
Becky retains. I think it'll be a decent match. I have liked some of the build to it. The real question, though, Steve Willie, is when, because we're going to get a spot in the match where, you know, Lita has the hope, and she's going for that moonsault, and she removes her T-shirt to reveal another T-shirt. Will it be a huge pop?
Will her underwear be showing?
Oh, my God. It'll be just like her head will go in the same bowl as the stupid fucking guy with the suspenders. Naomi's texting me now. So what does Nate think? I said, well, he could teetotal, which might be good for your career. No.
Scott's internet crashed trying to text and podcast at the same time.
Naomi cut her off. Cut him off. Like, who's this person?
Yeah.
Keeps texting Naomi. Let's shut him down.
Jimmy and Jay found out, like, who the hell is this Scott person?
Yeah, bad husband. What?
They're listening too, like Michael Jordan. Like, I took that personally.
So, do you have any thoughts on this Elimination Chamber match? Lashley, Lesnar, Rollins, Theory, Riddle, AJ Styles. This is probably the toughest one to pick, in my opinion.
It is. And I'm generally not a fan of chamber matches where the champion is in the chamber.
Same.
But it should be a fun match. And Scotty's back after the Usos paid him a visit.
Mm-hmm. Naomi?
Jimmy and Jay paid you a visit. They heard what you
said. Pick a rum up, Jay. Jimmy, would one of you drank it? Sorry, my question.
They just drove their car through your house.
Sorry, the thing popped loose. I didn't even notice.
Yep, I ran over Scott's laptop. Man,
I really am texting Naomi. Yeah. So you guys already started. So it's anyway, just to throw the guys out there, it's Brock. Well, obviously, Bobby's the champ. So it's Bobby, Brock, Seth Rollins, Austin Theory. Why, I don't know. Riddle and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to pull a Nate here. My head obviously says Brock because they want this title versus title. Just mush everything together and have Brock Roman 59. Mm. I would love Riddle to win this match.
Mm.
But in that atmosphere, Steve Aloysius Willie, can you really see the Prince going, who the fuck is this guy? Why doesn't he have any shoes on? I thought only our slaves didn't wear shoes or whatever the fuck. I don't know. But I think it'd be pretty great. AJ seems to be on a bit of a boost, but let's be honest. This is Brock's match to win, Nate, pretty much.
Yeah, I was just telling Steve that, like, I'm not a big fan of chamber matches where the title is on the line with the champion in it.
I agree.
I prefer them more when it's for the number one contender spot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
That being said, like, there's some interesting possibilities. Like, I think Seth could be kind of fun. Like, I think AJ could be kind of fun. Your boy Riddle could be kind of fun. But it's a two-man race here. It's either Bobby retains or Brock wins. And so I'm thinking Brock wins. But here's the thing. Like, because in my mind, all roads lead to Cody, Steve Willie. So I'm like, where is Cody Rhodes in all of this? So I think we get Brock winning. We get our big match, a rematch with Brock and Roman. And then that's where Cody Rhodes comes in and picks up the pieces and wins the title they care the least about, which is a non-Roman title.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How much are they going to be rewriting again? You know, with this and with the possibility of Cody coming in,
mm-hmm.
you wonder, like, how many long-term plans they actually have. Because before the whole Shane McMahon thing, there was talks of Riddle winning the Rumble, which kind of surprised me. But then you think a little deeper and think, hey, you know, Riddle versus Orton for the title at Mania. Riddle and Orton, you know, I talked about how Roman Reigns, obviously the MVP, but Riddle and Orton have been one of the most enjoyable parts of the last year or so, too. It's... you know, kind of cheesy at times, but still fun. So the assumption for me would be Brock Lesnar, you know, Austin Theory in there, like, from what we know, because Shane McMahon's not. And I think Austin Theory is one of the most bland wrestlers. He might be improving. I don't really see him much, but I saw him killed dead. One of the hottest crowds I've ever been at pre-WrestleMania in New Orleans when he evolved beat Keith Lee for the championship, and it was like a fart in church because Keith Lee was so over.
Right.
It was just like the most bland match ever, and it sure looks like he's doing the same thing right now. But I don't know why I had a slander Austin Theory here, but here we are.
Austin Theory just catching strays for no reason.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think Brock Lesnar will win here to set up the inevitable Roman match. I kind of feel bad for Lashley at this point, because with the weird finish at the Rumble and my assumption that he's losing the title here, I just wonder if he's going to get lost in the shuffle come Mania time.
I agree. So I may have missed this on the show. I'm assuming that this is Brock is not is cashing in the Rumble here. Is that what this means?
Yeah, I think it's.
I don't. Who the fuck?
I think it's gonna. I think it's Lesnar versus Reigns, no matter what, at Mania. And no matter what that's happening, it's just a matter of it's going to be title versus title.
Which I think it is. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a terrible idea, unless Roman wins and gets the belt off him, which I still think makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
When do we get to the point, guys? I mean, maybe you guys think this way. Maybe this is another. We're already knee deep in, and Steve wants to tell his ROH story before we exit stage left, but. I think a good topic for down the road when we have one of our quieter, in terms of news story episodes, where we could really dive into this. When have we gotten to the point where Brock Lesnar is not worth it anymore? Steve's like, last 2 years ago.
we got to get rid of Goldberg first.
Yeah. Because when are we going to get to the point where I get. Like, we've gotten to the point where, because we had some debate in one of the chats about celebrities at Mania and stuff, and celebrities need to be at Mania. That's a tradition. That goes back to March 31st, 1985. But when you're giving them belts and you're putting them in the main, like, title match feuds and stuff, now you're just insulting everybody else. And, yes, when Brock first came back, it was hot, it was cool, it was nice. But now it's like, you know, same stupid haircut, nice beard, same you. Like, I mean, right? Like, when do we get to the point where Brock suddenly nobody gives a shit about anymore? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People pop for the music, and then after that, you're like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I feel like that's something we need to think about. So, all right. Well, there is our Elimination Chamber picks, everybody. The show is, if you're listening to this again on Friday, tomorrow night on The Cock. And, yeah, should be a lot of fun. At least a few of the matches. All right. Steven Aloysius Willie Esquire. Oh,
finally. The main story.
Yeah. Why are we talking about
this? We make you sit through Elimination Chamber talk. No one cares.
That's stupid.
We make you sit through Cody Rhodes jumping from AEW to WWE. There's been so many jumps over the last 6 months. Who cares? Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, forbidden door is forbidden door.
Yeah. Like, seriously. Tony Nese, Cody Rhodes, same thing.
Tony Nese.
So Ring of Honor hosted two days ago, I believe, like Facebook Live gimmick with Ian Riccaboni, who I enjoy a great deal. And so the whole thing was talking about what's the future of Ring of Honor. You know, you could interact with the ROH board of directors, tell them what you want to see, and we're going to have some major announcements going forward. Cool. I check in afterwards. You know, our former leader Brad sent me over the text of what they talked about. Super excited. So let's go. Super Card of Honor, April 1st, outside of Atlanta. We already knew that Jonathan Gresham and Bandido unifying the titles, which was supposed
you mean
to
Dallas.
I'm Dallas. Thank you,
Dallas.
I just got excited with Atlanta. outside of Dallas. So we already
that's a strategy nobody's tried before. Let's run a show WrestleMania week on the other side of the country.
I'm so excited for this news. I can't even think of geography. So we already knew Gresham and Bandido were going to go at it, which was supposed to happen at Final Battle. So here are the big announcements. Number one, the Briscoes will be defending their titles. Okay, we already knew that. Number two, Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman are going to be back officially to be the announcers. This, again, huge news. After Supercard of Honor, they're going to be returned to live events and television.
Okay.
And last but not least, they're going to have a new logo.
Ooh.
That is your hard-hitting, huge announcement. This week, we had Stone Cold Steve Austin possibly coming back. We had Cody going to possibly WWE shakeups, but a new logo, Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor bringing the heat.
Yes. We'll get more into the Stone Cold stuff in 2 weeks. That seemed very shady this week, and the Cody stuff was really hot. But as we see that story kind of burbling, because Dave was like thinking it was, you know, I can't see Steve doing it, but we'll get more into that in 2 weeks on our next episode about Stone Cold. But wow, new logo.
Mm-hmm.
Neato.
Designed by the NXT 2.0 designers.
Oh, it's gonna be splashy. of course, they now have three in the ROH Hall inaugural ROH Hall of Fame class after Bryan Danielson and who was the first one? Why am I blanking? Who's the first one, Steve?
For what's that?
The ROH Hall of Fame, the first class.
Oh, Samoa Joe, the Briscoes, and Danielson.
Oh, the Briscoes. So the Briscoes, yeah. Bryan Danielson, and yes, they just announced Samoa Joe. Now, if ROH was smart, they would create a nice, saucy DVD set, Hall of Fame set, with all of the best matches of all these guys. My favorite Briscoes moment live had nothing to do with them as a team, and that's when Jay beat, or was it Mark? Jay beat Owens / Steen at Supercard of Honor in 2013 at Hammerstein. That was my favorite Briscoes moment. Now, of course, speaking of the Briscoes, the Crockett Cup, which is happening, of course, on March 19th and the 20th down in Nashville, the Briscoes are in that tournament. So they are, of course, the ROH Tag Team Champions. La Rebellion, the NWA Tag Team Champions, are in there as well. The British Invasion, Doug Williams and Nick Aldis. Nick will be wrestling multiple times that night. Of course, this is a two-night affair. Strictly Business, Chris Adonis and Tom Latimer. The OGK, your boys there, Steve.
Yeah, Mike and Matt.
Yep. And the Fixers, Jay Bradley, the fucking indie lifer, and Wrecking Ball Ligursky. Of course, Matt Cardona will be defending the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship against Nick Aldis. And the four-way for the World Junior Heavyweight Championship, Austin Aries, Homicide, Darius Lockhart, and Colby Carino. And it looks like that the World Heavyweight title match will be on Saturday night, and Sunday will be the amongst the other matches that will be announced. The first round of the Crockett Cup has already happened this past weekend at NWA Power Trip in Oak Grove, Kentucky. The Fixers defeated the OGK. So, because aren't they wrestling? When's No Surrender? Is that next Saturday?
Yes. No, it's this Saturday, I believe.
Oh, so No Surrender tomorrow night.
Yeah,
tomorrow night. And the OGK's in that, right? What is it? Mm-hmm. No More Honor, whatever it's called. Honor No More. Yeah. So anyway, so before we go, guys, I want your opinions on this situation that happened last week. And of course, Dr. G and I will elaborate more this weekend on the Saturday special. Steve, you kind of snorted at us when I mentioned about Matt Cardona.
I don't know if that was on air or not.
if it is, it's staying. Matt Cardona, of course, everyone, is the new NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. He beat Trevor Murdoch last Saturday at the NWA Power Trip taping in Oak Grove, Kentucky. Steve chortled at it. Why are you chortling, Steve?
It's personal taste, I would say. I respect Matt Cardona's hustle. Mm-hmm. I respect what he did in WWE in terms of hustle and how he, made the whole internet title. I thought that was really impressive. The fact that he got let go and reinvented himself, and talk about a t-shirt seller. Jeez, that guy's got more t-shirts in the box. It's just, it feels like everything that I see him in, whether it's Impact, to a lesser extent, Impact, because I think they have good creative there, like Scott D'Amore and such. But like GCW, I watched that pay-per-view recently, and his match that he had was one of the most, like, Vince Russo would have said slow down. There were so many. Virgil was involved. Brian Myers, Hornswoggle, like his whole crew. Like he's got that whole crew that goes with him everywhere. Like Mark Sterling, X-Pac, all in the same match, just in a one-on-one match. And I don't know how many people he brings in. And he's a guy that makes me just want to turn off the TV. And that's just like if you told me, Steve, like you should really watch NWA, here's this, this, and this, and Matt Cardona's on top, I'm going to say, sorry, Scott, there's enough wrestling that I have in my house.
Right. Of course.
And I bought that GCW show, and like we could go over that another time. But
I heard it was very entertaining. I heard it was good.
Yeah, there was a lot of good in it, but it's just not for me. And like there might be people who like that, but like where he goes, then you're going to see Chelsea Green, and you know you're going to get all of that. So you know, expect Swaggle and Brian Myers tagging, or Swaggle and Mark Sterling tagging, and I think there's just for the NWA, they're kind of this old school alternative, and he's just kind of doesn't seem like he fits in there for that. But you know, they want to get eyes on them. Nick Aldis is the man. Just put Nick Aldis on top. And, you know, there's so many WWE guys out there that they let go that didn't get a chance. You could bring in like 30 people. You know, just.
I think they will.
Know, yeah, just keep bringing them in and out, cycle through them, just like a territory type thing.
Yep.
And don't bother with someone like that because you probably have to overpay him too.
Right. And he's not worth it in that.
Not in my opinion. Maybe other people think it is.
Right.
But just not in my opinion.
What do you think, Nate?
I agree with Steve Willey here. Like,
yes!
I think
I was the only one. I thought I was going to offend people.
Like, and it's nothing against Matt Cardona, but I feel like he has a ceiling, and
yeah,
I don't think his ceiling is being your top guy, especially for a company that was starting to gain some momentum in the NWA. Like, I think that. Like, he's a fine guy to have on the roster. He's a good hand. You know, if he's your TV champion, I think that works. But he shouldn't be your main guy. And as Scott mentioned, like, I am oversaturated right now with both Cardona and Chelsea Green. Like, the way some people feel about Brandy and Cody, that's how I feel about Chelsea and Matt. And I think that, like, there's a place for both of them on the roster, but I feel like with Matt, I wouldn't have made that move. And I guess the argument, Scotty, is, well, then would you have rather had Aldis just have this mammoth title reign and just still be holding on to it? And given the two options, I might lean toward yes, given the two of those dudes. Because Nick Aldis is... he's got shortcomings too, but I feel like Nick Aldis projects world champion in a way Matt Cardona doesn't.
No, he doesn't. I agree with you 100%. Nick Aldis does, and he's one of our favorites here in the PTB Wrestling Network. What I think the case is going to be is, and I'll elaborate more about this on future shows here, and of course on the Saturday special with G. But I think that Aldis is going to win at the Crockett Cup. They're going to have another pay per view because I kind of know how their next pay per view will be in June. Hopefully they don't call it When Our Shadows Fall, because I fucking hated that title. Hopefully they call it something cool. And enough with the Smashing Pumpkins demo songs, Billy, and come up with some real pay-per-view titles.
Like Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
But yeah, 19. Yes. I would love a pay-per-view called Cherub Rock. That would be tremendous. My favorite pumpkin song, by the way. But I think eventually, when they get to late August and we have NWA 74, and I said this to you guys before we went on the air, I think it'll be a babyface versus babyface. Aldis will take on my boy, the Pope, Elijah Burke, and I think Pope wins. Because he could go anywhere. I'm sure he's gotten overtures, and he has been very loyal and has stuck with the NWA, and I think he's going to be world champion by the end of the summer when they have when they do NWA 74. And I will be, and I've already said this to the doctor and whoever else wants to come, next year, I might be skipping SoFi because I don't know if I want to deal with all the because that seems like a very expensive trip. And is Inglewood? I've never been out there, but is Inglewood anywhere near anything? It probably is, but But I mean, is Inglewood like, you know, I mean, I know the forum's there, but they don't go into there anymore. I would love to see if the Lakers still have the band. Nah, they probably moved them to Staples or whatever the hell it's called now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I am definitely
crypto.com.
Crypto.com. That's right. Good Lord. I will definitely next year, 2023, be going to NWA 75. I don't give a fuck where it is. I am going to NWA 75 next year. Because if that's a year to go to the 75th anniversary of the original territory, that's your to do it. Anyway, thank you, Steve, for ruining everything with your silly opinions of the greatest wrestler in the history of the NWA. No, he's not. He's nothing but a Band-Aid. I agree.
I hope that the NWA 75 is in the Nashville Fairgrounds.
I would love that. And I hope it is.
I'll drive to that. It's probably not that far.
Speaking of the Nashville Fairgrounds, boys, of course, in 2 weeks on episode 190, mm-hmm. we will go back to March of 2003 for our next classic TNA pay-per-view recap. So in 2 weeks, I think we're in the beginning of March of 2003.
Speaking of classic TNA, I think James Storm would have been a better transitional champion.
That's Cardona. That's actually the truth.
What sucks is, guys, is that James Storm's been around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's had a couple of pay-per-views last year. I would have killed for James Storm to be world heavyweight champion. I don't care, babyface, heel. Who gives a shit? I'd have loved it. I agree 100%. So, I don't know. Anyway. Steve, what do you got going on? Anything? Nothing?
Let's see. I went to Warrior Week Wrestling last weekend with the kids. That was super fun. So if you want to check out my Instagram, I started to put some pictures up. There's also some Luminati's. I didn't take that picture, but it was still so good, man. We grabbed some Luminati's, brought it back to the hotel, watched the Super Bowl. Good stuff. So you can check out my Instagram, Steve Willie, and then the number one.
Okay. Of course, I go to you, Nathaniel. What is going on over on the incredibly awesome and not exclusive Kings of Sport Patreon?
Yes. I mean, in addition to production on Steve's new podcast, examining the storylines and the personalities and the psychology of WWE women called Women Be Crazy. We're working on that. Planning for Bedazzled. We're planning on a third quarter launch for that project. No, we just did a episode of the Kings of Sport podcast today, which some folks caught live. It'll be up on the Patreon feed probably tomorrow and then the regular feed over the weekend. But it was myself, Chris from LA, and Rich Fan from The Torch talking Cody Rhodes. We talked a little bit about Keith Lee coming to AEW. We talked a little bit about the Super Bowl, and then we got into the Brian Flores lawsuit. Yep. And some of the things about that. So that's a real interesting conversation we had with Rich Fan while he was on his lunch break.
Nice.
Yes, Rich was on his lunch break. So we did that show today. That's going to be available on the Patreon. So that's episode 299. So next month, we'll be back for episode 300 on
Beautiful. The
Kings of Sport podcast. So that's we got that coming. In addition to that, we are getting ready to drop a review of Peacemaker, the HBO series starring John Cena. That'll probably be out early March because we're waiting for one of the hosts to finish the series, get caught up on the series. But we're going to talk some Peacemaker. And so there's a lot of stuff. Chris and Andrew Thompson of Post Wrestling are going to be contributing more to the Patreon. So stay tuned. We've got that coming up. Patreon.com/the Kings of Sport and $5. Steve Willie gets you in the door. If you want to pay more, if you want to pay the Cody Rhodes rate, we won't stop you. But you can check all my work out there.
Steve and I pay the Cody Rhodes rate.
Mm-hmm. And we get the neck tattoos to prove it.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, Steve and I are getting Kings of Sport neck tats. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather, and you can follow the brand on Twitter, please do, at PTBN Wrestling. I had a nice poll up this week of where Cody will go. Or I said, where is Cody going? And we kind of know where he is, but it was a good poll regardless. We had a good week on the PTB Wrestling Network. New episode of Extreme Resurrection with James Grunberg and Michael Cook. New episode, a ton of good content. Of course, new episode today of this, Dr. G and I with the Saturday special this weekend. We had chicken salad this past weekend. So ton of great stuff. We got a fresh week this week. This coming week, we'll have a new episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, new episode of NWA Crock and Roll, all sorts of fun stuff. Also, this week will be a new episode of Through the Looking Glass with me and my pal, the Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Dave Hall. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. Have a great 2 weeks, everybody. Get your neck tats ready. Get a little... Could you imagine a Vince Russo neck? Oh, God, that's gross. Anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll talk more great wrestling news. We'll have the next installment of our TNA Classic pay-per-view recap. For Brother Nate, for Brother Steve, I'm Brother Scott. You've been in the main event. Have a great 2 weeks.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Milton.
You know, we talked a lot about what Cody was going to do on this episode, but I feel like not a lot of people are talking about Brandy. And here's the thing. I actually had a conversation with Brandy, much like you last night, Steve Willie. Mm-hmm. And in addition to all the great work that she's done in the AEW and opening doors for people like Nyla Rose and Sunny Kiss, Brandy said she wants to take some time to follow her true passion. And so she gave me permission. You know, we were texting much like Scott and Naomi earlier. She gave me permission to announce, Steve, Brandy Rhodes' next move tonight.
Oh, interesting. What's that going to be?
So Brandy Rhodes has always loved flowers. She's always loved being out in nature. And so she's going to open up her own online florist shop.
Mm.
And anybody that's interested in buying flowers from Brandy Rhodes, you can go online right now and just go to Every Rhodes Has Its Thorn.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did my words not come out right? Though I tried not to hurt you, though I tried, but I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn. She said love's a game of easy come and easy go. But I wonder, does he know? Has it ever been like this? And I know that you would be here right now if I could have let you know somehow. I guess every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn. Though it's been a while now, I can still feel so much pain. Like the knife that cuts you, the wound heals, but the sky that still love that night about knowing what to say.
Instead of making love, we both made a several weeks. And now I hear you found somebody new, and that I never meant that much to you. To hear that tears me up inside, and to see you cuts me like a knife. I guess every rose has its thorn, just like every night has its dawn, just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn.